This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, yeah. Hello and welcome, everybody. It's the world-famous Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. I'm Ben Rogers, joined by Jeff Skin Wade, Jonathan Shippy Shipman, Kevin KT Turner. Today, we are live and direct from Pluckers in Dallas, and we are off Lovers in Greenville. We'd love to have you come out and join us today. It's going to be a fun show. We love it when you come out and have lunch and bring your whole crew. And, you know, if you work anywhere near Dallas, hey, this is an easy spot to come to. Lovers in Greenville, right off 75. Pluckers in Dallas is where it's at today.
Man, we got our first Pluckers of the football season kicked off right here at this spot. It was a great turnout, a lot of fun, a lot of folks came out. Like to top it. I'd like to not peak that early in the season, Ben. I'd like to top it. So I would love it if we had every available Tolo in the area show up here and get your wings on for lunch. And hey, if you really want to do it big, go ahead and have a beer with your lunch. I'm looking over there at that Petacolas tap handle. Come on out there and have a beer with us, have some wings. Let's have a good old time on a Thursday, baby.
Unfortunately, some bad news today as we start our day finding out that Errol Spence Jr. is seriously injured in a car crash here in Dallas. Reportedly was driving a white Ferrari that ended up flipping. I've seen a picture of it, and eyewitness reports were that it flipped over end five times. Mm. He was thrown from the vehicle, which makes you think, okay, he wasn't wearing a seatbelt. And it is one of those, you know, like there's no top on it, really. You know what I mean? It's a Ferrari. It's like I don't know what that thing's called. It's like
spaceship.
It's almost like T-tops or whatever is what I would call it back in the day, but it's one piece that goes across the middle. It's not really a convertible, but it's basically a convertible. So maybe it is a convertible. But he was apparently not wearing a seatbelt. He is in the hospital. I believe he's in ICU is what they're saying. Now, they're saying that he is supposed to survive. Mm-hmm. But this happened at 2:53 a.m. in Dallas, and he was apparently traveling at a high rate of speed.
Is this, I believe this area is down there by... They say Riverfront?
It's 30 and I believe it's Northridge. Yeah, Riverfront. Yeah, Riverfront,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So I know exactly where that spot is.
Yeah, that's right over there by Trinity Grove, right?
Yeah.
Which is not a good place. I mean, like there's ever a good place to be driving fast without your seatbelt, but that's...
The roads aren't good over there either.
Man.
There's potholes and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, he's certainly a local hero, so there's a lot of people that are very disturbed by this news. I saw it this morning early, Ben. I saw KT tweet out a picture of it when it was just a high-profile local figure. Which
didn't even know who it was.
Even know who it was at that point. My brain was racing when I saw that.
That will make you think. And did you want to?
Well, I saw it at 5 a.m. this morning, and it was a tweet from Madison Sawyer, who works at CBS 11, and her tweet said a high profile man. Hmm. And I'm immediately going, okay, well, whoever's in that Ferrari's dead because that car is totaled. And you know, and I just tweeted a high profile man ? And then people started going, Sagan.
Oh my God! Yeah,
apparently he's got a white Ferrari like that.
Right,
and I was like, okay, yeah, and the Stars are back in town.
Play Calgary tonight.
So I thought, oh man. So and then when it came out that it was Errol Spence, I mean, I was immediately thinking athlete.
Yes.
Thank God that he's alive and ICU and. Appears they're saying it's not life-threatening,
yeah.
But man, if you look at the pictures of that car,
looks horrible.
You're going, how in the hell would anyone survive that?
Here's the update from Premier Boxing Champion spokesperson Tim Smith. He said Errol was in an accident, and his parents are with him at the hospital. The doctors are monitoring his condition, but the injuries are not life-threatening. We'll have further updates as the doctors update his condition. We're all wishing the best for Errol. The police report says the Ferrari, or I guess the police in their statement, say that the Ferrari veered left over the center median onto southbound lanes and flipped multiple times, ejecting the driver who was not wearing his seatbelt.
Holy cow. God, you know, you never, I mean, we're totally speculating here, but it may be to his benefit that he was ejected early and not in there for several rolls. Yeah. Like you never know,
yeah, you
right?
Never know.
I'm visualizing that area. I mean, what'd they say, 3 a.m. or very yeah. late? At least it wasn't at, now we're talking about a Wednesday night, but at least it wasn't at 12:30 when there's, it's more traffic. Heavily trafficated, right? That's a tough story. We'll get you updates as soon as we get them.
Just wear your seatbelts. I do sometimes, man. I live in an apartment very close to where we're broadcasting at. And I was pulling in. And I was like, I didn't have my seatbelt on.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
Like, just have your seatbelt on. It's such an easy thing to do, and I'm guilty of it, man. And sometimes I don't wear it. I just like again, yep. And maybe you're thinking about other things or whatever instead of just get in your car, grab the seatbelt, put it on.
There's a reason
I'm guilty of it.
For me, it's my car is so freaking annoying. If I don't have that seatbelt on, it's like
right.
Bing, bing. Turn yeah. your seatbelt on. Put your seatbelt on, you idiot. Bing, 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 bing. And it just goes, okay.
It's like a second wife.
Yeah, it is. It very really much. Is. It's very much like that.
Hey, I want to shift gears here because I'm seeing some what I think is breaking local sports news.
Okay, yeah.
And I'd like to put someone on our show on trial, if you guys don't mind. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter.
Can I do the breaking news sponsor?
You know what? Go ahead.
It's brought to you by the Radio.com app and Indeed.com/hire. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire.
I mean, Indeed is going to like to mention they're going to question the validity of this breaking news. Here's a tweet from YG at Big Baller Jeremy 46 minutes ago. Do you know what's coming here, Ben?
I do.
After 3 years of pleading my case to be allowed into Ben Rogers Hoop Club, I made my debut this morning and balled out. All caps plot twist. Ben didn't show up. He obviously doesn't want this work.
I like that. I like the arrogance. So basically, this hoop club thing that I started many, many years ago, usually the number one rule of hoop club is you don't talk about yeah. hoop club.
Oh, he's out now.
Because the last thing you want is a bunch of basketball riffraff showing up.
Right.
Like, hey, man, I'm wearing my jorts and my running shoes. I want to try basketball.
Guys, can I get some running?
It's a very elite VIP invite-only type game. Because we don't want to get fouled by the guy in the UPS uniform that's just trying to get a little burn after work.
Right.
There's six people on each team. Each team has one sub, 2 45-minute halves. You run a scoreboard. It's at a private location. It's not open to the public. And, man, it's been a great game for many, many, many years. But there's a long waiting list to get in the game. For me, Skin, this is a result of our day part change.
Oh, no.
I'm having a real hard time with my basketball lifestyle in conjunction with the time that I need to get to the show
mm-hmm.
because I play early morning basketball.
Right.
And so it puts me out in rush hour traffic, which I had been avoiding for almost 8 years. It turns out rush hour traffic really sucks.
It's bad. I didn't want to break it to you in this way, but it is terrible.
Most of my prep work from the show comes just going 4 miles an hour on the tollway now and just listening to Sean and RJ.
So you're taking a lot of calls?
Yeah. So basically, I hoop on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Okay.
And so today I was like, I can't do it. Like yesterday, I couldn't even take a shower before the show.
Right.
I was stuck in traffic so bad. I'm like, I just got to do the show in my basketball gear.
Right.
It just sucks.
Which also, there was a game that broke out in the 11 o'clock hour and you were ready to go.
And I was so ready to go nice. Immediately.
Huh. That was a benefit.
So basically, I gave up my private reserve spot. Because once
did you give it up to Big Dong
yes,
Jeremy?
Yes, I gave it up to Big Dong Jeremy.
Okay. Did he bring any G-bag flags?
Well, I don't know if he did, but I basically had to say, hey, listen, guys, I can't play tomorrow. This is killing my schedule. I'm going to actually try to get some sleep
right.
and get to the show in a timely manner. That all failed as I was stuck in rush hour traffic for a long time. But anyways.
We need traffic updates from you, by the way, every morning.
He played for me. He subbed for me. I gave him my spot. And so I couldn't tell the guys that run the game now, hey, I'm not going to be there because it would have screwed the game. I said, I'm not going to be there, but I got a replacement.
Got a
so
guy.
I gave him my spot. It wasn't that I wanted to avoid his quote-unquote work.
Oh, I do like the idea that you didn't want his work. I do like that. That is
pretty good.
The most right. Big Dong Jeremy quote of all
right.
time.
And it's, dong size replacement that's about the same is really important.
Right.
Did
you get any feedback from anybody? Did he give
yeah.
everybody some work?
So I did get the scouting report on him. What I was told was that he played very well.
Uh-huh.
That and basically to get him in the game, they quizzed me a lot because they set up the teams the night before.
Right.
And so they didn't know him, so they're like, give me a scouting report on him. And I was like, well, Skin gave me a scouting report. Uh-huh. So what is your scouting report and how you saw him?
Okay, so when we were at the last Fanniversary at Texas Live, they had a basketball goal out there. And remember, Ben, it was me and you in a shooting contest with some Tolos.
Yeah.
Remember we
Dude, were, you were great. You were on fire.
It was a good afternoon. I thought I was on fire. And then I started having a shooting contest with Big Dong Jeremy. And, dude, he smoked me. And KT was actually standing there. And I've told KT this. I said, dude, usually I can outshoot most random Joes that walk up. I was like, I couldn't hang. He was draining everything, and he was draining from about 30-something. Like, he was bombing. And I was going, and it wasn't just, you can tell by a guy's form, if a guy's lucky a couple times, is like, dude, this is how he shoots.
Yeah.
And so I thought he was definitely of the Steph Curry generation, just these guys that bomb from the timeline. So I don't know if he plays defense. I don't know what his passing is like. I don't know what his handles are like. Yeah. But I can tell you he can stroke the rock.
I'll read you what the scouting report that I got, Brett, that I got back.
Okay.
Hey, crazy small world. Jeremy played in our game before on a different day. Hooped with him many times. Good dude, good player.
All right.
And I said, okay, how good? And the response was, he's the Diet Coke version of Tim. Tim is a big-time scorer in our game.
Oh, okay.
So he's slightly less – and I was like, oh, okay.
So he has less calories.
He said he's a really good shooter.
Yes.
And a good ball handler. He responded with absolutely dead nuts, lights out shooter.
Yeah.
He said skin scouting report is accurate.
Okay, good.
So he did. He did give everyone that work, apparently.
Now, by him saying that, I can tell Big Dunk Jeremy didn't defend anyone all day long. But I was confident that he was that kind of a shooter. So I like hearing that. So if we ever do get this fan team up and running, we know that we got a gunner.
No doubt.
Which
okay.
is what we need.
So last night, Major League Baseball happened. There was Major League Baseball playoffs are going down. And the overnight TV ratings don't come out till 11 o'clock nowadays.
Okay.
But I'm super curious to find out what did better TV ratings last night in DFW, MLB playoffs, or Dallas Mavericks preseason basketball. And I'd be willing to bet the house, don't take me up on this, that the Mavs got better ratings than the MLB playoffs because it was the debut of Porzingis and Luka playing together, and it was magnificent.
So aside from our own excitement over this, I would think a good indication as to what you're saying is the fact that the Mavericks drew 8,500 for a 20-minute exhibition scrimmage opposite NFL Sunday. Like, it was going head-to-head with all the noon games.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys think is a bigger draw in Dallas, your typical NFL game or MLB playoffs with the Cardinals and the Braves?
NFL.
So I'm just saying people left their house to go watch an exhibition scrimmage instead of stay home on a Sunday and watch NFL games. So based on that, I think you're right. I bet these ratings are at least comparable. And the game... So the Maverick game started at 6. By that time, you had
10 zip or whatever.
I would think at least for the first half of the Maverick game, I bet it outdid the Major League playoffs.
I got home from the happy hour last night, the Cowboy happy hour at 8:30.
How'd that go?
It was good.
Good.
Rayfield Wright's a beast.
How do you mean?
8:30, I was home. He's just a Hall of Famer.
He just blew through that question.
Yeah.
Your follow-up got no work.
So I got home at 8:30, and that game was in the fifth inning.
Okay.
So Dodgers and Nationals had barely been – I mean, it was halfway through.
I call them the Nats.
It was like – that game started at 7. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So by the time Mavs were over, you could flip on over and see Clayton Kershaw melt down.
Yeah. I think that by the time the Mavs subbed in Antonius Cleveland, everyone said, oh, okay, so they're done with this game. I'm going to see what's happening with the Major League playoffs.
Dude, but man.
Did you like that first couple minutes of that Mavs game?
Oh, my God. It is so much fun watching Luka and Porzingis play out there, and I've never seen a player like Porzingis. I don't know who to compare him to because he's so freaking big. He was again crossing people up at 7'3" and hitting threes, bombing threes. They had an awesome kind of alley oop at one point, which you know seven.
Look at
Boban. Mm-hmm. Though that's what 7'3" guys move like. That's what they're supposed to move like, and he moves really good for a 7'3" guy. Look how Mejri used to move around as an athlete.
By the way, Mejri just signed with Real Madrid. If you guys are excited about that,
I saw that big press conference and everything. I'm like, damn, think hard times for you guys. You're having a big press conference for that.
The Tunisian sun returns.
But yeah, we'll get back into it later in the presentation. 12:40. But coming up next, let's turn our attention to Dallas Cowboys football. What happens if they lose to the Jets? We'll have that discussion next. Live from Pluckers in Dallas, we're also giving away $1,000 every hour on the show today, but you cannot win unless you're listening. We might do it during a commercial break. We might do it at the beginning of a segment or the end of a segment. Your chance to win only happens if you are listening to the Ben and Skin Show live from Pluckers in Dallas today. Come see us and hang on 105.3 The Fan. Man, I'm excited about this Cowboys-Jets game. I feel like the intrigue is building by the moment. Not that the Cowboys shouldn't be able to handle the Jets. They should easily be able to handle the Jets. But just because, what if they don't? We're going to have that discussion now live from Pluckers in Dallas. Come join us, man. We're going to have lunch here today. We'd love for you to come have lunch. We can take some pics and meet you during commercial breaks. And thank you for being a loyal supporter of what we do here and means the world to us. So come bring your whole office. Bring your friends. Come have a lunch date with the Ben and Skin Show at Pluckers in Dallas. Have you guys figured out what you're going to order today for lunch?
Man, so I've kind of settled into this new routine when it's lunch. I don't do this at dinner, but I've been getting that grilled chicken garden salad with balsamic. Mm. Oh, it's so good.
So generally I'll go for a little Larry Bird sandwich, but last time I took a little flyer on the chicken nachos, replaced the basic nacho like tortilla chip with the potato chips, Stephen Ray Rodriguez recommendation.
Really?
And it killed. It killed. The chicken, I got that. Well, got a little lemon pepper, spicy lemon pepper on it. They already drench it in some honey barbecue sauce. Oh, that's good.
God, that sounds delicious.
Stephen Ray Rodriguez out here. Do we have G-Bag flags? We do have G-Bag flags. The Tolo flag. Will is out here engineering. Going to be a fun show. Come join us at Pluckers in Dallas off of Lovers and Greenville. We're going to have a good time out here. We'll keep you updated on anything that breaks regarding Errol Spence Jr.'s car accident. We're being told that it's not life-threatening injury, so that's really, really good news. But if anything happens, we'll get you that. Jason Garrett's press conference coming up momentarily. And don't forget, you can win $1,000 just by listening to our show. And right now, I'm not going to give you that chance to win $1,000, but at some point in this hour and every hour, you'll have a chance, but you've got to listen. You never know when it's going to happen. Looking at the Cowboys situation facing the Jets are 0-4. You just heard in the crosstalk with Sean and RJ and the Jets flagship radio station that nobody believes in the 0-4 Jets. They're talking about it just being a dumpster fire. Adam Gase has crazy eyes. He's not going to last there very long. They're the 31st offense in points. They're last in the league in yards. They're last in pass yards. They're 30th in rushing yards. They're last in first downs. That's the offense the Cowboys are going against. Now, granted, they get their quarterback Sam Darnold back. Their defense is bad, too. 25th in points allowed. However, 12th in yards allowed, 21st in pass yards allowed, 7th in rush yards allowed. As you said yesterday, Skin, they've got a decent rush defense, if you could call it that. And then Le'Veon Bell is still a little bit of a threat. Now, he hadn't had a 100-yard game. He's only averaging 2.9 yards per carry. That is a career low for him, but he's probably watching highlights of Aaron Jones thinking, good God, I'm going to eat this Sunday against the Cowboys. Cowboys could be without Tyron Smith and Lyle Collins, which is problematic. Leighton Vander Esch missed practice with an illness. Maybe Antoine Woods comes back and is the savior of the run defense. But this game sets up to where the Cowboys, if they are who we think they are, and we think they're a good team, they should go beat the hell out of the Jets. But what if they don't? What if the Jets beat the Cowboys? Is Jason Garrett's job immediately in season in jeopardy?
I think it's in jeopardy. Could this be the rare game where if either team completely blows out the other one, the losing coach will get fired either way? Like, is Gase that close to losing his gig?
No.
I mean, you would think that they would just ride it out since they suck and don't want to pay anybody. There's no sense in double paying a coach when you're tanking. I believe everything that the Joneses have said on our airwaves that Jason Garrett is not in danger of losing his job right now. However, if they were to lose to the Jets, and it wasn't even a case of, oh, my God, the Jets have never played this well ever. I mean, I think we all assume that if the Cowboys lose this game, it's because they continue to play poorly or subparly. Then at that point, there's no doubt that there's conversations going on, right? Because, you know, you've talked about this a lot, Ben. One of the reasons that the Cowboys signed Zeke is because they thought they could win a Super Bowl this year. And so what would have happened to make them go, oh, we were wrong? They would still think that they've put the talent together to win the Super Bowl. If they're sitting there at 3-3 with three losses in a row and a loss to the Jets, they would be thinking of what is it going to take to resuscitate this season. And they may end up there because it's not like they got to eat money. I mean, his contract's up at the end of the year anyways. This is a pivotal game for Garrett for the simple standpoint of he's got to go out there and sort of reestablish that he actually is the right guy for this particular season.
And don't you guys think they'll be focused and ready to go?
I do. I think they're going to roll.
I think they should.
The one thing that, like, I don't want to draw too much out of locker room stuff, but the people that were in there, the way they were talking about the moods and behaviors of the players. And then, Ben and I were at this Travis Frederick event on Monday night, the charity event, so there was players there. And the way some of the players were talking, it was sort of like, man, I can't believe yesterday went down the way it went down. That simply can't happen again. Like, there was almost like this bucket of cold water thrown in the face kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not losing to the Packers, but being down 31-3 going, what the hell?
Right. It's, as they like to call it, nut check time, right? This is identity time. This is let's go figure out who we are and if we're really going to do anything this season. And if the Cowboys go and lay an egg to the Jets, it's over for Jason Garrett, in my opinion. Because that would just be the rock bottom low. Now, I'm not saying the season's over by any means. The Cowboys were 3-5 last year and ended up, going to the playoffs. It doesn't mean that the season's over, but it means that drastic measures need to be taken. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about this. You can't just say, hey, get rid of the kicker. Maher sucks. Okay, well, who are you going to add?
Right.
You can't just say, oh, hell no, I'm not paying Dak. Tell him to take 22 or he's out of here. Okay, who are you going to replace him with?
Right.
And really the same thing goes for your head coach. It's not like there's all these badass coaches just sitting out there waiting to jump in. And the two coordinators on the Cowboys, they don't have big, bright, shiny stars right now. They've lost a little bit of luster here in the last couple of weeks. But the one thing I would say is if the Cowboys lose to the Jets, to salvage the season, it might take emotion to light a fire under their arse more than anything. Mm-hmm. And Rashard is that. He is a guy that will scream and get hyped and get fired up. And maybe a change in that regard as opposed to the robotic thing. Maybe that would – I mean, there's no way the Cowboys, Jerry and company, are going to give up on this season. But if they lose to the Jets – it's chaos and panic time. It's time to be very concerned. Not the season's over, but what can you do to save the season? And that's why, to me, if they lose to the Jets, if I was in charge, I would fire Garrett.
Do you know what you're talking about the emotional aspect of it. Do you know what I think has really hurt this defense more than anything? I mean, aside from, hey, they need a better run-stop guy in the middle, is that their two most fiery defensive leaders have not been productive. Tank because he's getting double teamed and fighting through injuries, and Tyrone Crawford because it's just nonstop injuries. He's not on the field. And so I'm thinking about that, Ben, from the standpoint of tone setter. And look,
I thought Quinn's helped that.
Well, yeah, but you guys have been around Quinn. That's like talking to wallpaper.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, I was talking about his play.
Yeah. No, his play's been incredible. Yeah. I'm talking about when your two most fiery leaders are not being productive. I was thinking about what Tyrone Crawford said after that game. Just talking about whatever Garrett wants to do, we have his back. And he said it in this Tyrone Crawford way, and it makes you admire him and makes you admire Jason Garrett. But when your two most fiery leaders are not off to that great start, for whatever reasons that they are, I think it sets a tone. And you guys might think I'm on crack here. I stole this from one of our really good Tolos, Kay Wood. But I really think if you want to do something catalytic, go acquire Sue from the Tampa Bay.
All right,
I think that would be catalytic for this team.
Okay, but at what cost?
I'd give up a second-round pick for him.
You have a two for him?
Yes, I would.
I can't do it. Whoa. I can't do that just because you are about to have the most top-heavy payroll on the planet, and you're going to have to utilize those draft picks to get quality starters that are key contributors aren't making a lot of money.
I get it. And to put it in perspective, if you want – okay, well, why would you do that? Well, the Rams did that because they thought they were going to win a Super Bowl. They got to a Super Bowl. They didn't win a Super Bowl, and then they let Sue go. I mean, it really is. It is in the case of where the Cowboys are, it's like a 3-month plan. It's a 4-month plan if you go and get him. He's on a 1-year. He signed a 1-year deal with Tampa, didn't he?
I don't think.
It's like 1 at 6. How much is it for?
Something like that. Yeah.
And, dude, I realize it goes against the grain of team building and some of those sorts of things, but I really think that it would have a catalytic reverberation on this team? Because I don't think any of the three of us think that if they're healthy, this team has offensive problems, right? If they're healthy.
If they're healthy, no.
Okay.
I mean, for the most part, they don't.
They don't. I mean, dudes, if they have, if the line is, even if it's compromised, but those guys are out there playing, and you have Zeke and Cooper and Gallup and Cobb and Jarwin, you're moving the damn football.
Yeah.
The offense is not your problem. And so right now, even defensively, I just think having a guy like Sue would be freaking incredible. And the way the Cowboys play, he would be playing half of a game. And so he would be fresh. Do you realize how much that'd free up Malik Collins?
Malik Collins needs to be better, too.
It would be on, dudes. It would be really, really on.
This is kind of where I'm at. And every NFL team goes through little phases in year in and year out where, you know, maybe their offense had a let-up game or their defense had a let-up game. This is where the biggest thing that killed them the last two games was turnovers. There's not some constant trend of them having a turnover problem.
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
right.
That's kind of new.
Right.
Okay? And the Saints game, we came to work on Monday, and we're going, what the hell's going on with the offense? Well, at least the defense kept them in the game by holding them to field goals. And, yeah, they could have got off the field a few times, but, you know, they didn't give up a touchdown. You know, the offense is the reason we lost that game. Okay, the turnovers and the offense.
Midfield
and then
fumbles.
The Packers game, we went, holy crap, the defense sucks. What happened?
Yeah.
The offense is getting what they want. And I just don't see some trend where neither of the offense or defense is going to get better or that's what they are. To me, the defense has shown that they're pretty good. They've shown that every once in a while there's a blinking red light going on and they have a bad game.
Mm-hmm.
They've shown that. But to me, it's not like there's some identifiable trend with this team that says this is a bad team.
Right. I agree.
Because the turnovers are not some long-term thing.
No, I agree with everything you're saying.
So
I agree.
That's why I'm not really freaking out, and you'll go beat the teams. The things that make me nervous about playing the Jets is you win the game and no one cares. Well, you're supposed to.
Right.
You lose the game and everyone burns the city down.
Philadelphia is the pivot point of the season.
Absolutely is.
If you, and this is what I was trying to say in our mix with G-Bag on Monday when Bassick was trying to burn down the world, and I get it. You're pissed when you're down 31-3 to the Packers. That's a game that we're all hyped up for. But you can be there like 9 days later in that exact same spot after beating the Eagles at home and all that is dissipated.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the reason. There's many reasons. We've gone over this ad nauseum. But that's why the NFL is the best sport. There's a week between every single war that is waged, and after every single war, you're assessing the damages, and you can totally turn it back around. I would love to go back and listen to our shows after the Cowboys lost to the Titans last year. They traded a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. They were 3-5. We all thought it was the end of the world. And then everything turned around. It did a complete 180 from that point on.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. There's parts of it that are intriguing to me. I'd love the idea of Sue being here. It's exactly what they need. But I mean, he would be their three technique, right? He could also be their one, I guess, a little. But they really kind of need a one and a three.
They always roll two threes out.
I can't tell you that I know he's been good. I don't know.
I can
assume what I think I know about him in the past, but I don't.
Right.
I don't know. I know he had that touchdown with the Rams, but like. I don't. You go look at his numbers. His numbers aren't blowing you up, but there's more to that than.
But those,
score.
Defensive tackles numbers aren't necessarily going to right. If it takes two interior linemen to block you, you're not going to put up a bunch of numbers, but you're sucking in all this other attention.
I'll put it to you like this: what I saw from him with the Rams last year, I thought he was still really, really good.
I did too.
Now he's playing next to Aaron Donald, but my whole point is that he would play a specific role that would. I think he would free up your linebackers. You know, you don't have that guy that's just collapsing the pocket. He doesn't even have to be incredible. All he has to do is be really good.
Can I broaden it out?
Though? Yeah.
I mean, Sue's great, and I think that's the line of thinking. Look at these teams who are tanking or be ready to get rid of some people.
You talk about Geno Atkins.
Geno Atkins comes to mind. How many Gerald McCoy rumors have we had over the years?
There's one every year.
I mean, he's a guy I might be interested in. He's missed a game, it looks like. And the Panthers are still in it. The Panthers are not going to give up yet, but let's reassess that in 3 weeks. Gerald McCoy might be a guy that I'm interested in.
What are the Bucks? What are the Bucks? 2-3. Does anybody know who the Bucks play on this weekend, or they have a bye week?
The Bucks play.
If the Bucks fall to 2-4, now we're we're probably moving towards. Hey, this guy might be available at the right price.
The
He's
Bucks
a one-year player.
Yeah.
Like, do the Bucks think that they're?
Panthers.
Panthers. Oh, dude, if the Bucks lose to the Panthers in division and fall to 2-4, you don't think that they're sitting there reassessing their situation going, man, do we need to be married to a veteran that's not going to be here next year?
Yeah.
Is Leonard Williams a guy who can also play? Or do they play a 3-4 with the Jets? He's apparently available. So, he looks huge, but he's both, right, inside and outside?
They moved to a 3-4, and they're with Greg Williams is now their defensive coordinator. Leonard Williams is good. Leonard Williams is an awesome player. Quinnen Williams is a guy who they drafted top five this year. He's been a little banged up. He did practice yesterday. It looks like he's going to play this week. They've got bodies up the middle that could make things difficult to run the ball.
Well, I'm saying there's reports out there.
Trade him? Williams
is available.
Yeah. Can you guys
Leonard Williams is a much better player than any of the guys we were talking about.
Can you guys run out to the star right quick and ask Jason Garrett? Any of these questions you guys interested?
Yeah,
let's
see what he's
time to get up there.
Let's have Fish ask. Let's get Fish to ask.
Okay, yep. Coming up next, we'll sick one of our reporters on Jason Garrett to get to the bottom of this trade scenario we just concocted. It's the Ben and Skin Show, live from Pluckers. Lovers in Greenville, 105.3 The Fan.